595, Collins Independent Radio, music from Santana. It is called Smooth on Coleman's Independent Radio. 4:01 on a quite sunny but cold Thursday afternoon. But, you know, I would rather see a little bit of sun than, you know, rain or snow or whatever else. A couple of things coming up this weekend. A little something called the Super Bowl, I think. I think it's this weekend. I'm sure it's this weekend. And if I'm wrong, these guys in the other room are probably making quite a bit of fun at me right now. Who knows? Anyway, it's 4:01, time for Sports Talk Live. And this time of year, we do this pretty much every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And, you know, when football's really rolling and we've got County and Auburn and Alabama, we do it every Tuesday and Thursday. And we want to thank our friends at People's Bank for making this show possible and for actually making quite a bit of the radio station possible, too. So thanks, People's Bank, for that. Here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason and Ronnie.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Welcome, everyone, to the Thursday and now the only edition of Talk Live.
A little chilly out today.
Oh, man. Feels good.
Yeah.
It feels like Super Bowl.
That's right.
Did I get that right? Is it actually Sunday?
Oh, you did.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I started to say that, and then I thought, you know, I don't really, I mean, I had lunch, and they had the NFL channel on, and they were talking about Coldplay playing, you know, the halftime show, and I guess it's going on.
Who's playing the halftime show?
Coldplay is playing the halftime show, and I think I had heard.
I never heard of that.
Well, Coldplay is a, well, Ronnie, you need to listen to the station when you're not here in the sports program.
We wouldn't know who it was if we heard it.
I wouldn't, yeah, you'd have to specifically tell me who it was. I've never even heard that name. Is that a person's name or a group?
It is a group.
Did you say Coldplay?
You
Coldplay. The opposite of foreplay, Jason.
Well, Jason, we're going to wrap this show up.
It's been nice. It's Sports Talk Live.
Jason needs to go home.
I was corrected at lunch. I thought Coldplay was a Canadian band, but I was told they're a British band. And you would think I would know these things.
A British band playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And you know, it's Super Bowl 50, you know, the big 50.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would think that they would have somebody who's like a legacy playing
the Stones,
halftime.
Or something like that.
I was thinking like a Bruce Springsteen or somebody.
There you go.
I mean, the first Coldplay song that I ever remember hearing was like 2001. So
I've never even heard that name.
I mean,
apparently Jason hadn't either.
I like Coldplay, like foreplay better, but you know. Moving right along.
All right, it is Super Bowl weekend, and we'll have our guys.
Hey guys, I think Netflix is on that TV in there
to talk about that. We'll be getting their opinion. Most everybody leaning toward the Panthers right now, and who knows?
That'd be a pretty safe bet, wouldn't you think?
Panthers favored by 6 last time I seen it. Could have changed. Who knows? But
you think it'll be closer? You think it'll be that close?
No, I think it's going to be double digits.
You know, funny you say that, Jason. I was thinking about that. Driving up here a while ago, and I thought the exact same thing. I thought, you know, I could easily see that being 10 or more.
Yeah. You don't know. Peyton Manning could be his last rodeo.
Well, Peyton needs to be the Peyton of about 15 years ago.
Cam Newton, will the pressure get to him? Will he he says he don't get nervous, but he's human. Everybody gets nervous. So.
He's never been in a Super Bowl,
right,
either.
We will see.
Yeah, just pay. I mean,
5:30 Sunday.
Is that kickoff or is that just when the?
I think it's kickoff. 5:30.
The actual kickoff is 5:30. That means it'll come on at.
Yeah, you can start watching it Saturday night. So.
So right now it's the Panthers and the line is 6. You say
6. Yeah.
Will that change anymore?
I know, very possible.
I know Chris will clue us in more at 4:20 when he joins us, but
It was. Came out at, I think, 4, 3.5 or 4, moved up to 4.5, and it just steadily went up to 6 now, and we'll check it in a minute. But
has it ever gone down? That you know of?
Not that I've seen. Not that I've seen. Which means money going to the Panthers right now at any point level. So.
I wonder what the normal point spread is for a Super Bowl.
I don't know. Didn't you ask Chris that last week, and he didn't know?
Did I ask him that?
I think so.
Okay.
If Chris don't know, I sure don't know.
He doesn't know, nobody does.
Right.
I bet it's not a touchdown.
No, probably not. I'd say probably in the 3 to 4 point range most
probably,
of the time.
Probably.
NFL usually fairly close anyway. Every once in a while you get a blowout.
Yeah. What do you think? You think it's going to be a good game? You think it's going to be reasonably close?
I think the Panthers will stay true to form and get a lead and blow it.
And they've done it all year long.
Have to scratch and claw at the end, but I think they'll win it. Who knows? I don't know.
I think most people would agree that Denver's got to have a lot more help to win this football game than the Panthers need. You know, they need some turnovers. They need some, you know, a lot of penalties. They need their defense to play absolutely out of their mind. But, you know, will they be able to against Carolina? That's yet to be seen. Yeah,
the Panthers the number one scoring offense in the NFL.
Exactly. So. Because, you know, yes, Denver dominated New England. Now, the score was close, very close. But defensively, you know, they were Tom Brady, by the time he got the snap, maybe took a one-step drop, if he even took a step drop. And, you know, he had defenders all over him. I don't know that Denver can do that to Carolina.
And I don't know if they will be able to rush Cam like that, because one mistake on a blitz or a all-out rush, and Cam's going to be scoring six.
Yeah, he's certainly not a Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is not Cam Newton, and that's not taking anything away from Tom Brady, because he's got a handful of Super Bowl rings. But, you know, it also doesn't change the fact that he is not the player Cam is on the edge with the football.
Right.
Tom Brady might get you 2 yards, Cam will get you 20, and then run over somebody in the process.
Which brings to mind Saturday night, Cam should take home the NFL MVP award. So.
Can't imagine anybody.
Who would have thought that a year ago? I mean, people a year ago were talking about if Cam was going to make it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Make it anywhere.
Right.
Much less than most people had him gone from Carolina anyway. But just making it on a club.
And now he is the face of the NFL. Everywhere you look, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam Newton.
I could do without seeing the pants that he had on.
Oh, man. Can you believe that?
Now, come on.
$849. And they say they're sold out of them now. You got a pair?
I tried to get a pair that sold out. I tell you what, I wouldn't wear them in Coleman if you paid me $840.
No.
But, you know, I guess Cam can pull that off.
Oh, yeah.
He did, so. But I thought, I saw those.
You could probably combine the cost of all my pants and I'd get $849.
You buy in bulk, don't you?
Oh, Ronnie.
The average spread. Did not know that.
Average spread is 7, so it's
7. What about
right
that? I would have never guessed that the average spread of the Super Bowl was 7.
No, I thought it would be lower than that. But
you know, the last, I'm just going to say 10 years, and it might be 20 years, most Super Bowls turn out to be a flop.
Yeah. Last year was a dandy.
It was. But most of the time, they're not worth a flip.
Hey, which brings
this to
mind.
The commercials.
If anybody has the Madden PlayStation, the Madden Xbox game, let the computers play and find the score out. They did that last year. Everything down to score.
Wait a minute. Back up and
ding.
Back up and tell me that. Back up and tell me that again. The what?
The Madden NFL game
that everybody owns at home. Okay.
You can let the computer just play itself. You know, both teams controlled by a computer sit there and basically watch a video game. I don't know why you would want to do that, but.
Okay. Somebody did that last year?
Yeah, they do it every year. Who does it? I don't know, but they do it every year. Some group does it and then publishes the outcome of it. Last year, it had the score correct. It had Tom Brady as the game MVP, which he was. It had the interception, not at the end of the game, but the guy that made the interception, don't know his name, but it had him with an interception.
No way.
It had missed Brady's passing yards by 7 yards, I think.
And this is just two computer games that you just play and walk off in your house? And it was that accurate?
Yes, it was. I mean, everything you can think of happened last year. Score was exact. This year, it is said that Carolina wins 24-20, will be up 17-0 at halftime, and then Denver takes a 20-17 lead in the fourth quarter, and then the Panthers score and win it 24-20.
I've never heard
that before. So if that happens, will be buying us a PlayStation and an Xbox before next
year.
Well,
your kid, Tyler's probably got one. Yeah, I'm sure my kids have got one.
Tyler don't have the new one. I think it's
Okay. My good, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You need to check that out.
Hey, and a stat that was up just a minute ago, too. You know, the first one we was talking about was the point spread. The average point spread is 7 points, and I believe that read 72% of the time. 72% of the time, the favorite team wins it outright. So, for what that's worth.
That's the favorite team, so.
72% of the time.
Yeah, Vegas don't miss
guys,
it much.
I was going to say, you guys in Vegas, they're pretty darn good, aren't they?
Yeah. When you got millions and millions, there's no telling how many millions will be riding Sunday.
Oh.
On BetDSI, you can bet the game, and then just under that heading, there is 141 different side bets you can make on that, and we'll go over some of them with Chris later, and Dan's going to have a couple of them. But, I mean, you name it, you can bet on it.
From the first team that scores or whoever gets the first down.
We'll score live. Anything, right? Yeah, anything. How long the national anthem will be. I mean, it's.
Whether there'll be a wardrobe malfunction at halftime.
Coin toss. Who will score first in the second quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter? Will there be a score in so-and-so?
So what you got?
At the time?
Just a bunch of drunks sitting around writing this stuff out, you know?
Yeah, that's basically it. Anything you can think of, you can bet on. So.
First team to come out on the field?
I hadn't seen that one, but it wouldn't surprise me. You could probably find it somewhere. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Honey, talk about the recruiting war.
What's there to talk about other than it's the same old thing year after year after year?
Alabama goes down now. They are not the number one.
Only in your feeble mind.
Only on the ESPN. I don't know who those folks are, but.
Yes.
And I'm going to take up for Alabama. I don't understand why they are rated second on that one. But
ESPN does. You're right, Jason. They have them rated number two behind Florida State. Some other places have them ranked number one.
And Alabama can do it like they do their national championships. Just claim it. I mean,
what
the
Coleman
Times.
Well, they claimed one a month ago. Does that one count?
That one counts.
Okay. What are they claiming that doesn't count?
1941. And we can go over some more later on. But 1941.
You sound like you've researched this.
Alabama finished 20th in the AP poll.
Yeah.
Lost three games.
Yeah.
Lost, didn't even win the SEC.
Yeah.
And claims a national championship for that year.
Well, how did they claim that?
I don't know, because the Bug Tussle Gazette named them number one. So. So that just goes to show. The NCAA don't recognize ever how many it is Alabama counts now.
Okay.
It's just 16.
How many do you count?
I don't, but
how many?
I would say nine or ten range.
Oh, 9 or 10 out of 16?
Undisputed, NCAA recognized,
Oh, come on.
No, look it up. Look up Alabama's titles recognized by the NCAA.
Are you counting those that there's co-champions? That counts.
Yeah.
You're counting that as one of their
I'm
nine?
I'm counting NCAA recognized championships.
You're saying the NCAA only recognizes nine out of their 16?
I think nine before this year. So this year I think made them 10. So.
Okay. So they have 10.
So I'll give them 10.
Okay.
I might even give them two more. But there's no way you can justify 1941, Ronnie.
Okay.
You give me that.
I'm just. If what you're saying is true, and I'm not calling you a liar, my question is, why do they claim it?
I don't know.
If they
because somebody named them number one that year.
Oh.
If we can get our side man here to look it up, he'll look it up while we're 1941 Alabama National Championship. We're reading a stat on the board here.
Six times has a Super Bowl been won by less than 3.5. Boy, that half point is huge, isn't it, Jason? I mean,
it's
you know more about it than I am.
It's a monster.
A half point is ginormous, as the technical term might be.
But Alabama finishes first, second. Florida State, first or second. LSU, third.
Yeah. Ole Miss. You want to just do the top 20?
Yeah, run over.
Top 20, the way the recruiting ended up for this year, at number 20, Texas A&M. They were down two spots. Miami of Florida, number 19, they were down five spots. That's a pretty good drop, not for the better. At number 18, Penn State, they were down 3. Baylor at number 17, they were down 4. Notre Dame at number 16, they were down 4. UCLA at 15, they were up 4. Tennessee up 3 at number 14. That's a club that folks are going to have to really start paying some attention. I think the old, maybe not next year, but then again, maybe so. The old rivalry between Alabama and Tennessee is going to be rekindled.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I miss them old days.
I agree. At number 13 was Stanford. They were down 2 spots. Number 12, Florida. Boy, they took a hit. They dropped six spots as it ended up. So, you know, it's still a top 12, very respectable, but I'm sure that's not what Jim McElwain was looking for necessarily. USC up 5 spots to 11. And the big winner of the whole thing, at least on paper, is Texas. They jumped 22 spots.
That is
in
a,
the polls.
That
I
is
mean,
a job saver.
You better believe it. Auburn was up 1 spot from 10 to 9, so they finished in the top 10. A good recruiting class for Auburn. Signed some good guys. Yeah. I know you know more about them than I do, Jason, but what I do know is they signed, supposedly, I don't want to use that word, they signed the number one receiver in the country. And then I think you said they also signed supposedly a good quarterback.
Yeah, they got the number one JUCO quarterback and the number one player out of Georgia, inside linebacker out of Georgia, and a defensive lineman out of Georgia. Now, he may be the number one player in Georgia, defensive lineman, linebacker.
A pure animal on defense front, and that's that kid you're talking about right there. And, you know, in Auburn, we talked a little bit about this before we came on. Auburn signs more JUCO kids than Alabama does. They've done that for several years. And it has worked out well for them in the past as far as with a quarterback. And they certainly need, Gus certainly needs for that to happen this year for him. They have got to improve at the quarterback position, because if they don't improve there, they won't improve.
No.
Yeah, they might get better defensively, but they're still not going to be successful.
Hey, right here, the 1941 Tide, while I got this, the 1941 Crimson Tide finished 9-2, 5-2 in the SEC with losses to Mississippi State and Vandy. They finished 3rd in the SEC behind Mississippi State and Tennessee and were ranked 20th by the Associated Press.
Okay.
Now, I'm trying to find who. Howlgate? A mathematical rating system. Howlgate. If anybody has ever heard of that.
I haven't.
But Alabama claims that national championship. So.
Well, they probably have a reason.
They do, because those people named them national champs.
Well, they didn't just make it up.
But how do they finish 3rd in the SEC and claim a national championship?
I don't know. Howlgate system was in play from 1927 to 1958. It's a mathematical rating system developed by Deke Howlgate of Los Angeles, California. His ratings were syndicated in newspapers and publicized in Illustrated Football and Football Thesaurus, 1946 to 1958.
So, in other words, it would be like Paul Feinbaum coming up with a formula and naming a national champion.
Good point. And if Paul Feinbaum came up with one, he would name Alabama.
Oh, yeah, there ain't no doubt about it. And in all fairness to Auburn, if Auburn went back and claimed the national title, they talked about doing this last year or the year before. There's nine titles that they have a right to claim, but they won't claim them.
Nine. So you're saying that Auburn's won as many national titles as Alabama?
No, not claiming them the way they're claiming them. No, it'd still be 16-9, so.
But you're saying?
No, I don't say Auburn. If they claim them in the same way Alabama does, yeah.
They don't have nine titles to claim.
Yes, they do. All right, Sports Talk Live. The music's playing. We'll be back with Chris Andrews.
No, man, you can't take a break yet. I'm waiting for you to bet Ronnie on how many steaks.
I don't owe him so many steaks. I'm not ever going to get out of debt. So.
He's just going to buy me a side of beef.
Yeah.
He's going to buy you a steakhouse. Where
there
gonna
you go. Exactly
it'll
right.
be Ronnie's Steakhouse.
Funded by Jason Spiegel.
All right. Break time. We'll be back. Chris Andrews coming up. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live.
about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Hey, Coleman. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and Coleman Florist, located right downtown in the Warehouse District at 111 First Street, has you covered today, just like they have for the last 50 years. Coleman Florist has been serving Coleman County since 1966 and can provide arrangements from romantic roses to impressive modern bouquets for that person that you love. Pick up in-store or have them deliver anywhere nationwide. Take an additional 10% off simply by mentioning Live 95. And while you're at it, send a request or a dedication out to your loved one right here at Live 95 on Valentine's Day. Stay tuned for more details or visit our website at Live95Coleman.com. For more information on Valentine's Day offerings, search for Coleman Florist on Facebook or visit ColemanFlorist.com. Valentine's Day, don't get in trouble. Let Coleman Florist take care of you today.
Here in Coleman, there's at least two things I know we enjoy: eating and helping others. And now we get to do both. I'm Tommy Warhurst from the Coleman Lions Club. Our annual fish and ham dinner is coming up Saturday, March 5th. Here's your chance to enjoy a great meal and help local charities at the same time. Eat in, carry out, or take advantage of our drive-through service. Great food at a great price for great causes. Get your tickets now from any Coleman Lions Club member. For more information, call 735-6413. The Coleman Lions Club Fish and Ham Dinner, Saturday, March 5th at the Coleman Middle School Cafeteria. Sponsored by the Coleman Lions Club. We serve. Got car trouble? You need Joe Hudson at Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service is a full-service maintenance and repair center with high-quality, guaranteed service you can trust at a fair price. Foreign or domestic, car, truck, SUV, or fleet, Hansville Auto Service has you covered. Got a Wallace State ID? Get 10% off parts and labor and special discounts on oil changes. Make sure you're ready for winter with the winter specials. Antifreeze testing, battery and alternator testing, battery check engine light testing, exterior light and fluids check. Wednesdays are your days for specials on oil changes. Mention the promo code RADIO and get a free 27-point inspection with any synthetic blend or synthetic oil change. Promo code RADIO. For more information and coupons, visit HASVC.com. HASVC.com. Hansville Auto Service. Family owned and operated. Magnolia Avenue, Hansville. 352-AUTO. 352-AUTO.
All right, back with you, Sports Talk Live, 95.5 on a Thursday afternoon, and this time each and every Thursday we welcome our partner in crime, Chris Andrews from Reno, Nevada. How's it going, Chris?
I'm doing great, you guys. Yeah, after the national signing days you guys had yesterday, you should call that a crime.
Yeah.
Crowd the whole SEC. Oh, you got all the good players, man. A little bit.
That's just the way it ought to be, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. We don't have an argument, just a heated debate over Alabama and where they finished. ESPN has them at 2, 24/7 has them at 1, Rivals has them at 1. Where does Chris have Alabama?
Well, I just have to follow the others, but I was kind of laughing with a buddy of mine, saying that Saban's probably ready to kill himself because he's not a clear cut number one. Some guys actually have him number two. He's probably pulling his hair out.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I just can read the scouting reports, and I have to trust them. I don't have time to look at all those films and all that, but. You know, he's going to be way up there. It's either going to be one or two, but he's going to be right there.
Yeah. Hey, and Chris, I know Jason really wants me to call this out, so just in honor of him, I will. When Saban first came to Alabama in 2007, his first recruiting class was 17th. In 08, it was third. 09, second. 2010, third. 11. Was second, and then 12, 13, 14, 15 was first, and then this year we'll give Jason the benefit of the doubt and say they came in at number two. I don't know if there's ever been anything recruiting-wise more impressive than what they've been able to do. It's not because necessarily I'm an Alabama fan. It's just the facts are what they are.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really followed it that closely until it's gotten a little more scientific in the last decade. What can you say? He's number one or number two almost every year, and you know, it's hard for me to. He must be a hell of a salesman, you know, because these kids know a lot of them are going to sit on the bench for a year,
right,
maybe two, before they get a real chance to shine. But he still puts a lot of kids out in the pros. And listen, you're at Alabama. I mean, in a bad year, you're going to be playing in the Sugar Bowl. You know, so
right.
You know, it's pretty good. He does a hell of a job.
Yes, he does. He sure does.
Chris, moving over to the NFL, the game that everybody interested in. It's about 72 hours away now, I guess 73 hours, something like that. Has the line stayed about the same at 6? What's it doing now?
It's kind of going back and forth between 5.5 and 6. Some wise guys came in. I knew they would take the 6. I just thought they might be a little more patient and wait till, you know, Friday or Saturday and hope to maybe get a 6.5 or something. I had told my clients to wait for 6.5, but then I saw it starting to disappear, and I wrote them all yesterday or the day before, said, you know, go and take some 6 now, because you never know, it might go ahead and disappear. So go ahead and grab it. Me, I'm looking. It's mostly 5.5, although I do still see some 6 out there.
Okay, good deal.
That'd be, for me, that's hard for me to. It'd be hard for me to play that if I'm playing. You know, if I'm taking Denver, Jason and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't end up double digits.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot of varying opinions.
Sure.
And that's what we see every year. You know, I know I'm a little bit biased towards the underdog all the time. You know, and I know that. I recognize that. And one of the things I wanted to really emphasize to my clients, just because this is the game of the year doesn't mean you have to make your biggest bet of the year. This bet what you normally bet, and you know, we've had a really good year at against the number, and let's not blow it on one final game when you just go bananas. Yeah. And you know, I like Denver. I think it's going to stay real close, and I also know that I could very easily be wrong. So I've been around long enough to know that.
Yeah, you know, like you said, Chris, don't put so much on it that you can't enjoy the game.
Well, yeah, listen, if if you bet $100 a game during the year, then bet $100.
Right.
You know, if you bet $1,000, bet $1,000. If you bet $10, bet $10.
Right.
But don't go hog wild just because it is a big game. And we gave out a lot of props to bet on, too. And we like them. And I told them to make that about a quarter of their regular bets. You know, don't go crazy on a couple of these props because it's a reception here or there can really tilt the scales, and you know, you guys have been watching football long enough. You know, just one crazy catch here or there, and then all of a sudden, it's a winner turns into a loser. So
absolutely, you know. Or a turnover here or there. You know,
absolutely
those things that nobody can predict. So,
Chris, is there any estimate, or do you have any kind of ballpark figure on how many millions will be wagered this weekend?
Oh, man, I've seen all kind of crazy numbers. A couple of billion is what
I've
seen for worldwide. But in Nevada,
I think that was Donald Trump's wager.
Yeah, well, he bet Mitt Romney. In Nevada, you know, because when the games are on the West Coast, a lot of people naturally they come through Nevada on their way to the ball game and stop in and make a wager too. So those always seem to do a little bit better. I'm hearing about 120 million, something like that, in Nevada. But really, we know, you know, guys in my business, we know it's a drop in the bucket compared to what it is worldwide.
Right.
A very, very small percentage of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that don't count, I guess, all the so-called illegal online gambling that goes on and with BetDSI, Five Dimes, and so forth.
Yeah, I read about those guys somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to do a ton of business. And again, you know, Nevada, listen, I've been in Nevada and I've been a licensee here. I don't want to knock them too much, but a lot of this stuff has come from the federal government, too. They've really made it tough on anybody. If you're betting any sort of cash, you know, you have to show ID, and you have to, yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of crap. It really is. And it's really, it's kind of put a hurt on the growth. I mean, it's really, Nevada has grown. I mean, as far as sports wagering, it's grown every year. But they put a little bit of a damper on it by some of the restrictions. Just, you know, a guy comes in, you know, you're betting $10,000. That's not small money, but it's not a fortune either. You know, and you got to show your ID, and you know, it's just people are uncomfortable doing that, and I certainly don't blame them for being uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you know, if you could look into a magic ball, how do you, you know, when you're sitting around just talking with your buddies and us as well, how do you, as Chris Andrews, how do you see this game playing out? What do you think is going to happen during this game?
Well, the thing that I think is going to be very difficult, and I think it's going to be probably tell the tale of the game itself, is who's going to be able to run the ball. I personally don't think either team is going to be able to run the ball, and I think that's why I kind of like it to be a low-scoring game. I think guys will come out and play very conservatively. Now, I know Carolina hasn't had to do that most of the time during the course of this season, but I think they're looking at it a little differently. I think they're plus 16 turnovers for the year. They led the NFL in turnover ratio. They really had their way quite a bit by having some very strong first halves, and I don't see that happening in this game. I think this is going to be like tooth and nail right from the beginning of the game. I think both teams, like I said, are going to have a lot of trouble running the ball. I think that Denver is going to look them in the eye just because of that great defense, and I think they really do have the best defense in the NFL, Denver I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's just going to be a little more difficult for Carolina to just run all over this team, which, you know, a lot of people think they will. I think they won't. I think Denver's going to, like I said, that tough defense and the way they got embarrassed a couple years back when Seattle really had them from the very first play of the game, I think that actually helps Denver. I think that increases their preparedness to know, hey, if we get punched in the mouth, we better respond like right away.
Right.
And I think that's going to help them in a game like this. You know, Ronnie, you know, listen, if Carolina went out and beat them 38-10, I'm not going to stand there and say, my God, I never saw that coming.
Right.
Because they're that good. They if you get a turnover or a big catch or a big run, that could happen very easily. And these games, that's what happens in football. Look at the Carolina game last 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, the Cardinal game. Carolina killed them. I mean, they had six turnovers, and, you know, Cardinals had a couple of chances to get back in the game, but, you know, Carolina withstood every punch and wound up blowing them out. And I didn't see that coming. But, again, I said I didn't see that coming. It's not all that surprising. I've been around too long to say I'm dead shocked.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm not. But same thing could happen on Sunday. They're that good. They have some great, great athletes.
Yeah. The intangibles are just what you can't, you know, you can't put a finger on. You can't put a pulse on because You don't know. Who expected, like you said, Chris, who expected the Cardinals to come in and turn it over six times? I mean, those things you just can't put a pro- – you just can't predict. You know, maybe running a punt back for a touchdown or a kickoff or, you know, something like that. You know, it won't take many breaks for Denver, you know, to be able to not only stay in the game but to win the game. And, you know, you do have Peyton Manning back there.
Well, you know, that's a great thing about football. We love it and hate it sometimes. You know, but, you know, basketball, a guy makes a steal at half court, goes in, double reverse, jam, you know.
Right.
It's 2 points, you know. I mean, but in football, it's 7 points. A lot of times the difference is 14 because one team's going in to score and then all of a sudden the other one goes
yeah.
in. But I'm glad you hit on Peyton Manning. I want to just hit on that myself for a second. You know, if he's reduced to being the quote-unquote game manager now, I mean, is there any game manager you'd want out there more than Peyton Manning?
None that I could think of.
He's a football savant. You know, so he'll if Denver could keep it close defensively, I think he'll be able to keep it close on offense.
Right. Hey, Chris, what are you hearing out there? You know, does this look like it's the end of the road for, you know, for Peyton? Maybe – you know, in Denver, or is this the end of the road for him, you know, in the NFL altogether?
Well, I'm telling the truth, I think most guys are kind of hoping it's the end of the line. You know, he really was a shadow of himself this year, and I think he knows it. If you hear him talking, he kind of knows it.
Right.
And I know the Rams have already come out and made, you know, some sort of statement they'd love to have him. I've heard all year that Tennessee would love to have him. As a kind of like an on-the-field coach for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
But I think most guys, and I'll confess to being a Peyton fan.
Sure.
I think we all kind of hope it's his last rodeo, so to put it in his words.
Yeah.
You know, because he's just not the player he was, and I hate to see him go out looking much worse than he's looked this year, but he still can win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I hope it's – I'm with you, Chris. I hope it's his last year. You know, he's defied the odds. You know, he's what, getting close to 40 years old now, not too far from
yeah.
that. And, you know, he still has reasonable health. You know, don't chance it against those guys. You know, those guys that's 25, you know, 27 years old, that's wanting to take your head off.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, the time is coming. I hope he sees that too.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm pulling for Peyton Manning to be a volunteer head coach and to beat Alabama every year. So.
That's what worries me. That worries me about him retiring. It sure does.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I understand. Sure. No wonder you probably want to keep him playing for another 5 years, right?
Anything that will advance the cause of the Alabama Crimson Tide, run his four. So if it took putting Obama in for 4 more years, he would go for it.
Oh. Ooh. Boy, now you're stretched. That's stretched.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Chris, we know the Lions are out there, and so I came up with a few. It varies a little bit off of what the side bets are, the props. I'll come up with my own numbers, and I'm going to throw them out to you and Ronnie, and next week we'll look back and see which one of you scored the best out of these 10. So I'm going to fire them off. Ronnie will write them down. So the first score of the game, will it be a Carolina touchdown, Carolina field goal, safety, or a Denver touchdown, field goal, or safety?
Well, oh man, I definitely like it to be a touchdown. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll say a Denver touchdown.
Denver touchdown.
All right. I'll go the opposite, but I'll say it'll be a Carolina field goal.
All right.
That's okay. My picks.
All right.
Keep it score here, too. I don't want you pulling this.
Yeah, you have to watch it. You have to watch it.
Oh, yeah, I bet you, yeah.
All right, Ronnie, we'll let you answer first right. This time. Who scores first in Super Bowl 50, Carolina or Denver?
Carolina.
I should have made that
a... Denver.
All right.
Okay.
Back to you, Chris. Over or under Cam Newton passing yards at 224?
Well, like I said, I think both teams are going to have a lot of trouble running the ball, and I think that means Cam's going to have to put the ball in the air a little bit. So I'm going to go with Newton over 224 yards.
All right, Ronnie?
I'm over.
Over.
I'm with Chris.
All right. Ronnie, back to you. Over, under. Peyton Manning passing yards, 256.
Under.
Under.
Under for Peyton.
All right. Chris?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think he's going to have to throw the ball a lot, but I think he's going to have to throw it short. I don't think he has the arm strength to get it down the field too much. I'm going to go under on that myself.
Good deal. All right, Chris, over or under Cam Newton rushing yards, 37.
Well, I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under. I think Denver knows just how dangerous he is running the ball, and I think they'll have somebody spying on him pretty much throughout the game. So I'm going to go under.
All right, Ronnie?
I'm going the opposite. I'm going over.
Going over.
I think he might get a couple of big runs there and go over 37 yards.
I'd like for y'all to disagree.
Yeah, we have to disagree on some of these.
All right, Ronnie. Largest lead of the game by either team. Would it be 1 to 7 points, 8 to 13, or 14 or more?
I'm going to say the largest lead would be 8 to 13 points.
All right, Chris?
Oh, God, I hate to agree with him on something like this, but that's what I'm going to say. God. Dang you, Ronnie. Okay, I'm going to agree with Ronnie.
There you go. That's right. Just pay attention to me. I'll take care of you.
I'm not going to pull my patience all down. Don't worry.
All right, Chris, longest touchdown play of the game, over or under 37 yards?
I'll tell you what, there's so many great athletes on both sides. I think somebody's going to probably bust one. So I'm going to go over 37 yards.
All right.
Just to be the opposite, I'll do that. I'll say it'll be under 37 yards.
Fair enough. Ronnie, back to you. Longest field goal of the game, over or under 44 yards?
Longest field goal, over 44 yards.
All right, Chris?
That's about like an extra point now.
Yeah.
It is like an extra point. I'm going to go under, though,
just to be different. I'm going to go under. All right, last one, and I think this is the last thing I did see this line sitting at. Total points by both teams combined, over or under 45 points. Chris?
I'm going under 45. I think this is going to be a close defensive game, and I think it's under 45.
All right.
And I hate to agree with Chris, but I'm going to agree with Chris. So I'm under as well. I'm with Chris.
Good deal. Fair enough. All right, Chris, give us the score before we let you go. You got to give us, if your head was on the chopping block, what score would you predict?
First of all, Jason, let me tell you, my head's on the chopping block. Really. So, you know, that ain't nothing new. I think you're going to see, you know, I might as well go out on a limb. I did bet Denver plus the points. I mean, if it was a pick, I might be on Carolina, but I played Denver plus the points. But I'll go out on a limb. I'm going to say Denver 20-17 for a final.
20-17. Hey, and that reminds me, before we get Ronnie's score, Chris, have you heard or seen the story about the PlayStation or Xbox Madden game last year predicting the game just about completely correct?
You know, I did not see that, no.
It picked the final score just as it was. It had the halftime score right. It had the interception at the end of the game. The guy that had the interception, can't think of his name, but had him with an interception, had Brady as the MVP, missed the passing yards by 7. And I tell you all that to tell you this. This year, it has Carolina winning 24-20, but they have a 17-0 halftime lead, and Denver comes back in the fourth quarter to take the lead 20-17 before Carolina scored at the end to win 24-20. Madden football.
I can live with that. Yeah. Let me tell you right now. I'd sign off on that in about 2 seconds. I'd be fine.
That tells you our mind ability. You deal with mathematical formulas to come up with your scores. We put it on Madden and walk off and leave it.
Yeah, you two were playing Xbox. You still might be right.
All right, my score for the game, I am taking Carolina 24, Denver 17. 24-17.
24-17.
That's my score.
And yeah, I'll take
close
that.
Close to mine. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Reasonably close.
All right, Ryan.
All right, Chris, one last thing before we let you go. Any basketball, round ball action out there that's got you interest peaked or your guys' interest peaked?
Well, my guy is the best, and I'm not kidding. No joke, if you follow. I mean, the guys are writing us up now, you know, like 70%. I'll give you his plays for tonight. He's got Drexel plus 6, BYU minus 2, Idaho minus 2, and Quinnipiac minus 3.5. Now, I know you go to bed every night worrying about Quinnipiac.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that one.
So you got them minus 3.5. So
where is that?
I think it's in New Jersey, okay. But don't hold me to it. And I only know it because they're in the same conference as Robert Morris, which is
okay.
My alma mater.
I got so. You. Yeah. Now, they've had
but
some
I
good
think
clubs.
It's Jersey.
Robert Morris has had some good clubs.
We've had some good teams.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. You know, at that level, we're pretty good. So, you know, yeah, my wife bought me the Robert Morris shirt and everything else. So I'm very proud of Robert.
Hey, there you go.
Well, Chris, man, tell everybody before you go where again to find you. We even may have somebody listening in for the first time, and if they want to get in on some of this action, where do they find you?
Well, they find me, first of all, on Twitter. You can find me at Andrews Sports, 2 S's in the middle there. You go to my website, againstthenumber.com. A lot of free stuff. We've got some great, you know, football's almost over, but we'll have a preseason magazine coming out in June or July. We got a great golf package. We got, like I said, my basketball guy's the best. I'm weeding through some guys to find somebody for baseball. I've got a lot of guys interested, and I'll try to pick the right one. But go over there and listen. And before we sign off, so I know we did a lot of football and all that, I want to say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I love talking to you two guys every week. It's like one of my... I've said it before. It might be my favorite hour of the week. You guys are a real kick. And hope we get to break some bread together one day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Have a beer or a cup of coffee or something like that. So,
I got one more question for you, Chris Andrews. Are you Facebook friends with Jason yet? I just kind of wondered.
I am Facebook friends with Jason, but the thing is, I never go on Facebook. You know, I'm on Twitter all the time.
That's probably a good idea.
My wife and my daughter, I would have no idea what's going on Facebook.
So. Jason's on Facebook all the time, Chris, because he owns his own business. The man's got to have something to do during the day.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Chris, we can't tell
you.
I'll
tell you what, if I come out there in the spring, we'll find something for him to do.
Hey, I hear you. We're looking for you, too.
Chris, can't tell you how much we appreciate
you,
man.
I guys know. I really want it. I'd love to do that, and hoping I can get some things worked out.
Absolutely. Great. We'll meet you.
Oh, yeah. We'll pick you up at the airport. Just let us know when you're going to be there. Chris,
what airport do I fly into? That's what I got to ask.
Birmingham or Huntsville, either one. We're halfway in between.
Birmingham
so.
Or Huntsville.
That's right.
Guys, he's got money. He should,
my wife to or not.
Should fly right into Coleman. I mean, we got him taken care of here.
Yeah. Jason can send you a private plane.
There you go.
Get you.
Yeah. Business owner him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Chris, have a great weekend, man. And I hope you have a profitable weekend, most of all.
You guys too, and God bless you both, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Now, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. See you, bud.
All right, Chris hey, Andrews,
our
not
buddy
a better,
from Reno, baby,
not a better guy anywhere.
Absolutely, good guy.
If he does get out this way, Ronnie, maybe you can use one of those four steaks I owe you.
Hey, so. Ruth, Chris, here we come.
All right, Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be back. Talk a little Super Bowl, a little college football before Dan Vosta joins us. Stay with us.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. Are you paying too much for your auto insurance? Do your rates just keep going up? How long's it been since you got a new auto quote? I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency. As your independent agent, I work for you, not the company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. If I can't get you better coverage at a better price, I'll buy your lunch. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Cullman. 297-2280. 297-2280. Here in Cullman, there's at least two things I know we enjoy: eating and helping others. And now we get to do both. I'm Tommy Warhurst from the Cullman Lions Club. Our annual Fish and Ham Dinner is coming up Saturday, March 5th. Here's your chance to enjoy a great meal and help local charities at the same time. Eat in, carry out, or take advantage of our drive-thru service. Great food at a great price for great causes. Get your tickets now from any Cullman Lions Club member. For more information, call 735-6413. The Cullman Lions Club Fish and Ham Dinner, Saturday, March 5th at the Cullman Middle School Cafeteria. Sponsored by the Cullman Lions Club. We serve. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
Hey, Cullman. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and Cullman Florist, located right downtown in the Warehouse District at 111 First Street, has you covered today, just like they have for the last 50 years. Cullman Florist has been serving Cullman County since 1966 and can provide arrangements from romantic roses to impressive modern bouquets for that person that you love. Pick up in store or have them deliver anywhere nationwide. Take an additional 10% off simply by mentioning Live 95. And while you're at it, send a request or a dedication out to your loved one right here at Live 95 on Valentine's Day. Stay tuned for more details or visit our website at live95cullman.com. For more information on Valentine's Day offerings, search for Cullman Florist on Facebook or visit CullmanFlorist.com. Valentine's Day, don't get in trouble. Let Cullman Florist take care of you today.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A controversial Muslim group criticizing Governor Bentley at issue, the governor's State of the State address, in which he criticized President Obama's refugee resettlement program.
When 130 people were slaughtered in Paris at the hands of radical Islamic terrorists, among those killers was a refugee from a terrorist nation.
CARE's executive director says labeling a Muslim country terrorist promotes prejudice. Bentley's office says the governor did not directly reference Syrian refugees. The government labeling CARE as an unindicted co-conspirator in a major terrorism case. A 6-year-old Mobile boy remains in critical condition at Children's of Alabama after being attacked by a pit bull. The child was bitten in the throat. He's gone through several surgeries and may never speak again. A house fire in southwest Birmingham injures one person, the victim suffering burns on their hands trying to escape the blaze. They are expected to recover. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The latest arrest, a teenager charged in the murder of a Hoover man in the Lake Cyrus neighborhood, 17-year-old Ahmad Johnson. He was arrested in Bessemer 2 days after Mike Gelati was killed. He was found in a stolen car containing items connected to Gelati's death. Hoover Police Captain Greg Rector says Johnson, along with 16-year-old Charleston Wells, are connected to a Bessemer-based group called M-Tray. Rector says officers continue to seek justice for the Gelati family.
He's not only shot and killed in front of his house, shot in the back and killed in front of his house. This is a guy that served his country. He fought for this country in Iraq for 15 months. He was a tank commander. He fought door-to-door in Iraq for our country. And for to see someone like him get gunned down for no apparent reason, absolutely, it's personal to us.
More arrests in connection to the murder are possible. Alabama Coastal Foundation looking for volunteers to keep the streets of Mobile clean during Mardi Gras season. You can go to the website joinacf.org for more info. I mean, Gene Orfell. This is ARN. In sports, Alabama's got the number one recruiting class for 2016. Coach Nick Saban hauling in some big prospects on National Signing Day, including a pair of in-state five-star linebackers, Ben Davis and Mack Wilson. Saban says it's too early to make judgments about the class as a whole.
Until it's all said and done, until these guys sort of grow and develop, you really don't know what kind of class you had. It's everybody's guesstimate at this point, you know, as to what kind of class that we really had.
Auburn has the number 10 class, Tigers signing top prospect in Georgia, five-star defensive tackle Derrick Brown. In college basketball action tonight, UAB takes on FIU. Troy plays Little Rock. South Alabama goes up against Arkansas State. And Roman Harper will be playing strong safety for the Carolina Panthers this weekend in Super Bowl 50 against the Denver Broncos. The former Alabama standout renting his apartment in Charlotte, North Carolina for a one-night stay on Sunday for $5,000. Money raised goes to charity. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
All right, back with you, Sports Talk Live, about 5 minutes. Dan the Man will be joining us, and then yep. Rex at 5:30, do a little fishing.
Do a little fishing, a little Brad Paisley.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that today.
Jay won't ever play that one again.
No, he won't. I can't believe he wouldn't do that. It's a perfect segment.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Perfect.
But something about country music.
Yeah, you know.
Would you like me to serenade you, Ronnie?
Yeah, if it's going Brad.
With fishing. Brad.
Yeah, if it's Brad Paisley only. Yeah. Hey, we've got, Jason, we've only got just two or three, 4 minutes before Dan is with us. Let's talk just a little bit about SEC basketball that's taking place. If you have you been keeping up with the SEC basketball very much?
Some. Not drastically. I've been watching Kentucky lose and Auburn and Alabama.
What about that?
Did you watch guys? Alabama, Mississippi State the other night?
No, I did not.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Jeffrey would like to have a word with you for just a moment.
Got you.
Now, throw him at us.
He's at you.
Jeffrey, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hello, fellas. It's a private party. Anybody join?
You can join us, Jeffrey.
There's a cover charge.
There's no cover charge?
There is a cover charge.
There is a cover charge. Hey, charge Jay.
I hear you.
I think you should charge Brad Paisley myself.
Hey, I'm gonna have to get Coach's number. You had all them questions going a while ago, and I was trying to throw stuff at y'all to ask that guy. And I need Coach's number, so I'm texting him too.
Hey, I can get you my number.
Hey, just have Jason send it to
me. I will. Okay, yeah, no problem. I'll take care of that.
Yeah, I had a couple good ones. Heard on the radio today that the longest TD rush by a quarterback is 15 yards.
Cam will break that.
I believe he will, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And then the most rushing yards by a quarterback was 54 for a game.
54?
Yeah, 54.
That's possible, too.
If Cam breaks that, they'll win.
No question.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If he breaks that, they'll win. I think, I personally, the over-under is, what, 44.5, 44?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if it stays under 44, I believe Denver's got a shot. But if it goes over 44, I think Carolina runs away with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. The more points, the better it fares for Carolina, definitely. Denver needs to keep it low.
Yeah. Hey, Jeffrey. Yes, sir. Hey, is this it for Peyton?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he only played 9 games this year, and he barely can walk up and down the sideline.
Yeah.
I heard stories saying that a doctor has told him that it's inevitable that he's eventually going to have a hip replacement.
Hip replacement?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing much more. I think he's going to get his little Buick and drive off.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, he can always make a fortune on TV because he's darn good.
Oh, yeah. And then like Jason said, when he gets a head coaching job at Tennessee, then he'll really rake it up.
He could probably even get Hollywood to give him a nice sunset to drive into.
He could.
Absolutely. Hey, all jokes aside, him being the head coach at Tennessee, I can assure you Alabama fans would not be happy about that one.
Oh, no, they would not.
Or anybody else, but especially Alabama fans. I would hate the thoughts of Peyton Manning being the head coach at Tennessee.
Jeffrey.
Well, then let me be the first one to say that that'll never happen because Alabama fans always get their way.
That's exactly
right. Hey, Jeffrey, did you see on Facebook the picture of Peyton Manning with a kid that is made to look like his son? I don't know if it is or not, but the son, they're walking down through there, and the son looks up at him and asks and said, "Dad, can I sit where Cam will give me a ball after they score?"
That is great.
Hey, Jeffrey, change the subject again. Back to the recruiting. Your Florida State Seminoles are atop the recruiting wars, I guess, this year, finishing at number one by ESPN standards. And Jason says that's the only one that counts.
That's the Bible.
I agree with that. That's the only one that counts. It's funny because the lady doing the news in the commercial break on y'all's station, that she made sure to bring up the actual recruiting rankings,
yeah,
the ones that have Alabama first and Auburn 10. Auburn's been 9.
We pay her really well to do that, Jeffrey. We feed her steak dinners.
I do, you know.
That's just being in the state of Alabama, Jeffrey.
Exactly. Hey, trust me, nobody knows it worse than I do.
Hey, tell us about some of the players, because I don't know about any of the Florida State. Can you throw out a couple there that we need to keep an eye on, sure enough, in the next year or so?
Well, they had that in Early Enrollee, which goes on this ranking, too, that Malik Henry is a quarterback out of he's jumped around. He's originally from California.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good deal. He's a pro-style quarterback. He's going to be a big deal. You got the Jackson, I believe he's an outside linebacker from Texas thought they had him reeled in, and he announced in Houston he was coming down there. And you got Manuel, that defensive tackle that was supposed to go to Florida that flipped. He's going to be something to watch. And then Levante Taylor, a cornerback. He's going to be him and Levante. That Levante and that Manuel guy hit off real good during the Under Armour game. So Taylor's been saying that they were going to have the number one recruit class ever since he left that Under Armour game, and nobody believed him. And he's really stepped up. They got two really good linemen. And if these two start with the other three,
yeah,
the smallest guy is, I think, 6'6", and the smallest weight wise lineman is 309 pounds.
309.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's you're gonna have to have a tall quarterback there over that.
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, they they certainly spanked Florida as far as as far as recruiting goes. In the, overall, Florida dropped down. They dropped 6 spots, I think, down to 12. So Florida.
I believe Florida had probably the worst signing day. Because they still had a top 10 class.
Sure.
But they were supposed to be a lot better.
Absolutely. I think they dropped. ESPN had them dropping 6 spots.
Yeah, hey, something that's really impressive for somebody that didn't even have a program this year coming up, go look at what UAB did. I think UAB was like in the 40s, 46 or something like
that.
Is
that right?
Yeah, and see, I believe ESPN, I believe most of them, base it on your best 20 or 25 players.
Right.
I know UAB sound like 50 or something like that. I can't remember, but they base it on their best 20 or 25.
Okay.
Guys, I hate to cut this short, but we need to move it over to Dan. So.
Yeah, I just got a text from Dan. So, Jeffrey, appreciate you calling. And,
Well,
go Panthers.
Tell him, Tell him he's a paid guest, so tell him. I'm just a little guy
out
on the street.
So
y'all have a good one.
All right, see, Jeffrey. All right, since we had to cut Jeffrey off, I know he would want to say Roll Tide, so I'll say it for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he would want to say that. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
He gone.
We'll be calling Dan, and an interesting thing, Ronnie, looked up here, Super Bowl Sunday food facts.
Food fact.
Yeah. It is mind-blowing when you look at the food that's going to be consumed.
We need to be in the chicken business.
Sunday. How about this? 1.3 billion, billion with a B, chicken wings will be consumed Sunday.
I wonder how many birds it takes, how many chickens it takes to be 1. Whatever you said, billion wings.
Lord, I don't know. That breaks down to 4 wings for every person in the United States.
4 wings for everybody.
Blah, blah. It's going to be up 37.5 million wings from last year's game.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
The only other day of the year that has a higher food consumption bill is Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day.
He's ready, guys.
Okay. All right. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk Live. We were just talking about a little Super Bowl grub.
Grub.
Sounds delicious. I cannot wait for Super Bowl Sunday. That's what they said, the most consumed food day of the year, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's second behind Thanksgiving, which you can't hardly count Thanksgiving in there with the Super Bowl.
No.
But 1.3 billion chicken wings will be served Sunday.
Wow.
Dan, what do you think about the game?
Quite a bit, yep. What's that?
I said the big game coming up Sunday. What's your thoughts on the game coming up Sunday? Are you still on the Panther bandwagon?
Yes, I'm still on the Denver Bronco bandwagon, but I'm thinking this will be one of the better Super Bowls we've had in quite a while. I mean, I think it can be tough to maybe match up the last year, but look at the last decade or so, I think this matches up pretty well. This won't be, a lot of points scored as much as we've seen maybe over the years with the NFL getting a lot more points on the board. But, two best defenses in the NFL, I think it's going to be, awfully close to what the experts are saying in terms of total points. But I really think that Denver's going to have no issues slowing down the Carolina running game. And assuming they could just limit the big plays that Carolina's had all year, I think Denver has a chance to not only stay in this game, but I think kick a couple key field goals down the stretch, because I think they have the best kicker in football, not named Stephen Kostkowski, who ended up, of course, missing a PAT to help Denver win that game, per se. So I just think Denver is going to get a great performance from Peyton Manning, and more than likely his last game ever, because if he doesn't play well, it could get ugly, and it could turn into a first half that Carolina's had for most parts of the season with no comeback in store. But I think Denver's going to hang in there early, and if they can, I think they'll take advantage and win the field position in the second half and hit enough big plays the passing game against the Carolina secondary. That's maybe their only true weak link on the defense, because they're pretty phenomenal in the front seven. So I think Denver will play about as good as it can, and it will sneak out a 23-21 amazing victory, amazing Super Bowl 50.
Wow.
That will likely come down to the final moments.
All right. We had to hit on that to start with, and we'll get back to that. I want to talk a little bit about National Signing Day. Ronnie is all smiles.
Rich got richer,
as we say. most services, Dan, rate the top three is Florida State, Alabama, LSU. You can change the order with 1 and 2. Give us your top 3 to 5 classes and how they look.
Yeah, I think certainly, it's tomato-tomato for maybe the top. I would probably put Bama 1, Florida State 2, or 1A and 1B. But I would go Ohio State, Michigan 3 and 4. And then I think it gets really, really close. You could throw LSU in, Clemson, and right behind them, I would probably go Ole Miss, Georgia, USC, Notre Dame, Texas, and Auburn. I think I'd have to throw in there as well. For Texas and Auburn, I think, had a really good National Signing Day. But certainly, I think those teams I just mentioned, for the most part, I would argue they're the best programs in the country. Now, certainly, Texas and Auburn have had you know, some bad years over the past season or two or three, but for the most part, all those teams for me every year, every August, those are the most talented teams in the country, and more times than not, they're at least competing for national championships or winning double digits in terms of wins. Certainly Michigan may be the one team that hasn't proven that in the last couple of years, but a nice solid season, and now they're probably projected next year potentially win 11 or 12 games and maybe represent the Big Ten in the CFP. But I think Florida State, Bama, you know, LSU, Ohio State, the rich get richer. So all the premier programs reloaded, stockpiled, looking great for the near future.
Good deal. Dan, you kind of told me where Auburn, you thought Auburn came in there. How do you rate this Auburn class, and did Auburn get that quarterback that they were in so desperately in need of?
Yeah, I mean, I thought going in about a week or two ago, we mentioned a little bit, I thought Auburn was going to have a nice, you know, in the teens, worst case in the high teens, but for the most part, they surpassed that, and a lot of people have them, you know, on the bottom of the top 10 or just outside that, guaranteed at least for everybody. So I think the key, though, they needed to improve in the trenches. They've really lacked in terms of getting after the passer. And to steal Derrick Brown from the likes of Alabama and Georgia, of course, from Georgia, defensive tackle Derrick Brown, 6'4", 320. Many feel he'll be the next Hog Molly for the Auburn Tigers, something they've lacked in the last couple of years, really since Nick Fairley left. He's probably going to be their best nose interior lineman since Nick Fairley, and he could perhaps be a potential first-rounder, but ways to go before he plays an official down. But he's a guy that can make an immediate impact, and I think they did get some other pieces around him. Certainly, I really think it's going to help them when you bring in a Marlon Davidson. He's from Alabama, of course, a DN, 6'3", almost 280. But I think the key for me was improving the offense. You mentioned the quarterback. I think John Franklin III, maybe call him JF3, for next year, I think he'll be the starting winner. He'll win the starting gig at quarterback. And he'll be thrown to a couple true freshmen. I think Nate Craig Myers, 6'4", a typical big receiver. We've seen so many in the SEC in the last decade. When you look at Julio Jones, A.J. Green, it really, the list goes a long ways away. Don't even look at LSU's receivers, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, maybe not the size length, but their catch radius in the red zone. It's tough to score touchdowns, and Auburn's just looking to put any type of points on the board the last 2 years. So I think Craig Myers, and I also think another couple of receivers, Elijah Stove, I think are going to help him. Excuse me, Stone is going to help him as well. So I think this, you know, Auburn offense has really struggled, you know, a bunch lately. So I think this is going to help him. The offense, the quarterback, obviously the last year was quite the struggle, to say the least. So I think if Auburn can just pick up the pieces, stick to a quarterback, I think they're going to have a successful season. I think, you know, 8-9 wins should be a realistic possibility for next year, but get to a bowl game, potentially 10 wins, you know, I think has a good chance of, you know, realistically happening even in the deep SEC West.
Good deal.
Hey, Dan, with you, you know, kind of touching base there with the Auburn's recruiting class, could you also, and I know I'm throwing you a curveball, could you also do that same thing with, you know, with Alabama? Some, maybe two or three of the guys that we may, you know, hear their names next year playing, not, you know, two or three years down the road.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's amazing when you look at Alabama, excuse me. Every year they're going to bring in, you know, not only the top recruiting class, but their best players are always on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at it, most of the outlets for this recruiting, other top 10 guys, 6 or 7 are on defense. So you look at Ben Davis, wasn't too long ago, when his dad is right, the all-time Alabama leading tackler. I think he's going to be a future NFL linebacker, and at least that will be the expectations. But many people feel he's the best inside linebacker in the country. And Lindell Wilson, many people feel he's going to be one of the better defensive linebackers to potentially play as a true freshman. Worst case, they redshirt, and then when they're that third-year redshirt sophomore, they're playing big-time playing time and potentially starting and, you know, following the footsteps of leaders, of seniors, of fourth- and fifth-year players. Terrell Hall, a good defensive end. So all their stud players, Alabama's, for the most part, defensive side of the ball, because defense still wins championships. Great teams are always built from the inside out, and I think Alabama dominates the rest of the landscape of college football better than anybody because they consistently get the best players on the defensive side of the ball. So I think it's going to be a great year coming for Alabama, probably a preseason top three or four team worst case. So I think the defensive side of the ball proved it, because the strength of this recruiting class was that defensive side. And despite losing a few guys this year in the front seven that are going to be first-round draft picks, they're stockpiling to get better for the future. And it's just another win for Alabama when most people, including myself, thought they were a top 10 class. And here they are again, being number one, landing a couple under the radar guys that some people, you know, didn't expect exactly.
Exactly. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, I got one more question. I'm still out in left field. I want to ask you, do you mm-hmm. know how many five-star recruits there were this year? If you
well,
don't,
depending on your outlet, there's usually, you know, about 40, 50 total.
Okay.
So depending on your, yeah, sometimes it's a little bit less at certain outlets. You know, look, the Alabama, for example, the Rivals media outlet gave them five stars they've landed. And I know the SEC as a conference had more than the rest of the country. And so, you know, I mean, depending on what your outlet is, it could be anywhere from, you know, 30 to maybe a little bit under 100. And you're looking at the SEC, I think they had well over 35 stars. So pretty right. much almost a half, I believe, had that. So that's not too bad. I mean, you know, the SEC, for the most part, has dominated the last decade in terms of five stars, in terms of overall. Kentucky, for example, barely cracked the top 35, which is great.
Right.
Only one problem, it was 12th in the SEC for right. some outlets. That just goes to show you, in terms of the top 30, 35, the top 12 of the SEC right. owned it. And, you know, most five stars, for Rivals example, they had about 31 five stars. So some outlets had a little bit more. So out of your top 100 to 300, you know, there's always about a good 30 plus five stars in the SEC. But, for the most part, dominated pretty cleanly.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Dan, let's move west a little bit from Alabama and tell us about Texas there. You know, they moved up 22 spots. I think they ended up about 10. Somewhere in that neighborhood, and they were sitting at 32. So what was the deal with Texas there?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of rumors this week before Wednesday were, you know, a lot of uncommitted players from the state of Texas were uncommitted at the time, and there's a chance that if he really hit a few home runs, that would lead to more. And Charlie Strong, you know, had his best day, obviously, as a recruiter at Texas, and it was a huge day for the Longhorns, like you mentioned, jumping up over 20 spots. It could be huge because the Texas Longhorns, you know, Charlie Strong for many, top three on the hot seat entering the 2016 season. And hopefully these freshmen can play immediately. Brandon Jones, a five-star safety. Many people feel he's the best safety in the country coming in the country. As a true freshman coming in the season next year. Eric Fowler, another linebacker. But the key for Texas is, can they protect their home turf? Because they got some big-time games. Notre Dame to kick off the season. You still have Baylor and TCU. And, of course, Oklahoma still playing the Cotton Bowl. But those four games, can they win one of them? Can they split them? It's going to be, and you got to go on the run at Oklahoma State, but for the most part, your big games are all at home. So if you can win at least, you know, four or five games at home, you're potentially looking at a 10-2 type of season, which means a New Year's Six Bowl in Longhorn football, burnt orange is back. But if you lose all those or lose four or five and you go 8-5 or 9-4, that might not be good enough. You may be lucky and get one more year, or if you go 8-5, there's a chance, in my opinion, Charlie Strong could be, you know, on the way out. But it was a huge, you know, huge day for Texas and as well as Auburn. Want to make sure I said their correct receiver, Elijah Stove, along with Craig Myers for Auburn, I think are going to be quite the duo for Auburn. But Texas, for me, I think was arguably the biggest winner, because if they would have stayed in the 30s, it would have been, you know, abysmal. A day for them, because they're really searching for offensive weapons, and obviously they improved big time in the defensive side of the ball as well.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, let's move up back over to the NFL now, and you know, you kind of gave us a brief oversight there of the game, how you think it'll go, and that you think Denver's going to be able to pull out a close one. But let's get a little more specific here. I just want to ask you, who has the edge in certain segments of the game? So we'll start with offensive line. Who's got the edge, Carolina or Denver?
I'm going to go Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah, slight edge. They've been able to run the ball better. Helps to have Cam Newton. But for the most part, their O-line, slight edge. I think Khalil at center gives him a moderate edge. I'll go slight, moderate, and then huge. So I'll go Panthers moderate at O-line.
Okay. Receivers and tight ends.
I'll go Denver, huge edge. I think all-pro Greg Olsen, you know, helps them be somewhat competitive. I think Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas is going to have a huge Super Bowl. for what, for the most part, has been a bust of postseason. So I'll go huge edge for Denver.
All right. Running backs.
I'll go moderate Carolina because I think you have to add Cam Newton into that dimension. He's just been simply sensational, the best running quarterback since at least Michael Vick and Cam Newton so far. No dings, no bumps. He's as good as it gets. So I give a big edge to Carolina. Excuse me there.
Okay. All right. This next one probably you just probably answered the one I'm about to ask with the previous quarterback.
I'm actually going to go slight edge Carolina. I think Peyton Manning's going to play out of his mind in this game, more than likely being his last game. But I still give the edge to Cam Newton. He's the best player on the planet. Easy pick for the regular season MVP. And the experts say he's the easy pick for the Super Bowl MVP, right. But that obviously have to require the Panthers to win the game. But I think Peyton Manning's going to have a big game. I think he's going to have no problem throwing at least close to 300. Wouldn't want to say over that. But I think Peyton Manning and his receivers are going to make amazing plays for him. Demaryius Thomas, for me, has been a top three receiver in football for the last 3 years in a row. This year wasn't amazing through the injuries, and Brock Osweiler playing as well. But Demaryius Thomas, I think, is overdue. If you're talking about prop bets and guys, this guy is going to have a monster game, in my opinion, despite struggling big time, you know, in the last month or so. I think he's going to maybe see Norman on him, but I think for the most part, they're going to move Demaryius all over the field to avoid that. So I think the Denver receivers are going to take big advantage and help Peyton Manning.
All right. Defensive line.
I'm going to give a slight edge, the slightest of all, to Denver. I think they're underrated. Malik Jackson, Derek Wolfe, these guys have been balling all year. And you can obviously throw Von Miller into the equation because he's always in the backfield. So front seven is tiring. I think it's pretty close to a push. But I'm going to give a slight edge to Denver in this one.
Okay. How about secondary?
I'm going to give a slight edge to Denver as well. Carolina's been filled with ball hawks. Kurt Coleman, obviously, Brad Norman's been the best receiver, defensive back in the NFL covering and shutting down receivers. But I'm going to go Chris Harris, all-pro corner, and obviously Aqib Talib. Two guys that both played at Kansas, nonetheless, when they made an appearance in the Orange Bowl not too long ago when they beat Va Tech. Harris was a freshman. Talib was an upperclassman playing in his last game, I believe, that night. So I'll give a slight edge and throw a T.J. Ward, hard-hitting safety. Certainly the Panthers have plenty in Kurt Coleman, and they've been ball hawks all year. But I'm going to give a slight edge to Denver in that area.
Okay, two more, and then Jason's going to take it over. Special teams.
Yeah, I'm going to give a slight edge to Denver. I think Brandon Manitz, for the most part, has been arguably the best kicker in football this year. It helps to play at Denver, but in the spotlight, he's made some big-time kicks. Certainly he missed a big one against the Bengals in regulation, but he made up for it. Kicked the game winner, obviously, and in overtime, we've seen some other big kicks that Denver's made this year, led by Brandon McManus, obviously. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Broncos there.
Okay. Last one, who has the edge coaching-wise?
Wow. I'm going to go, slightest of edges. I think that Jerry Kubiak in Denver, I think he's a little bit more experienced, obviously, as a head coach and in the NFL overall in terms of as a coach. But I wouldn't say it's much. It's almost like a push, per se. Quite the job that Ron Rivera and the Panthers have had. Only one loss. I think we've said nine teams in the history of the NFL have entered the Super Bowl with one loss or less, of course. So pretty borderline push. But if I had to pick somebody, I'd lean towards Gary Kubiak.
Thanks.
All right, Dan, kind of push for time, so we're going to cut this down and let you answer these questions, and that is the Super Bowl predictions. These are lines that came up with, don't have anything to do with Vegas, just something that I throw together. So first score of the game, is it a Carolina touchdown, Carolina field goal, safety, or a Denver touchdown, field goal, or safety?
I'm going to go with a Brad McManus Denver field goal.
Denver field goal. All right. Who scores first in Super Bowl 50, Carolina or Denver?
I'm going to go Denver Broncos. First score of the game. So I'm going to go McManus, early field goal, probably midway to the, towards the end of the first quarter.
All right. Over or under Cam Newton passing yards at 224?
I'm going to go over. I think it's going to be a close game, obviously, but I think there's a chance they'll be trailing late. And I don't think 224 is nothing outrageous. His receivers and Greg Olsen have made big plays here. And so I'm going to go over. I think it'll be well under 280, but I think it'll be over, just over 224. So I'll take over.
All right. Over or under Peyton Manning passing yards at 256?
I'm going to go over. I think he's going to throw close to 280. So I'm going to go big game for Peyton and over.
All right. Over or under Cam Newton rushing yards at 37?
Wow, I almost feel like it's the trick question because I think people would probably put their summer ranches on 37 yards. Some people feel he may have a run bigger than 37 yards, but I'm the one person for myself touting this Broncos defense is mini 85 Bears caliber in terms of their front seven. I love their two corners and Harrison Tlaib. But I'm going to go over. I think he's going to rush for less than 100, but I think he'll get at least 50-plus. So over Cam, there's a chance he potentially could lead the, you know, the team in rushing if Stewart gets bogged down.
Okay. Largest lead of the game by either team, 1 to 7 points, 8 to 13, or 14 points or more?
I'm going to go 1 to 7 points. I think this is going to be nobody blowing anybody out here. I think it's going to be very consistent field position. Not too many big plays, in my opinion. Maybe you hit one, but I think this game's going to be, you know, nothing more than a touchdown lead for either. So I think Denver's defense is going to keep them in the game early because we've seen the Panthers blow everybody out in the first half. And I think Denver in the second half will take the lead for good and hang on to it in the fourth quarter. So I'll go 1 to 7 points is the biggest lead.
Okay. Longest touchdown play in the game, over or under 37 yards?
I'll go over. We saw a national championship, Alabama Clemson. I know people were talking about O.J. Howard breaking well over 50-yard pluses off. I'll go NFL Super Bowl over 37. I think Demaryius Thomas will break a long screenplay for at least 40 yards. And can't count out Cam and his receivers who have had lots of plays this year over that. So I'll go over 37.
Okay. Longest field goal of the game, over or under 44 yards?
I'll go over 44 yards. Graham Gano out of Florida State's got a big leg, and Brandon McManus out of Temple. But for Denver, he's had a monster year. I love him to death as a kicker. For a fantasy footballer myself, I've had him on most of my teams, and he's helped me in clutch situations, and he's more importantly helped the Denver Broncos. So I'll go over for biggest kick.
Okay, last one. Total points by both teams, over or under 45?
Wow, I'm going to go just under. 23-21 final Denver is my final score, my final answer. So I'm going to go under for 45 total points, but just barely.
Boy, it sounds like it's going to be a good one, Dan.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dan, we're pushed for time today, so we're going to let you get away a little quicker. And we appreciate the time you spent with us, man. I hope you have a great weekend. And I hope you're wrong about the game, but I hope you have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. You enjoy it. You enjoy the Super Bowl 50, and thanks for having me on. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Dan.
See you, buddy.
Have a great one, guys.
You too.
All right. Dan the man.
Campus Insider, Chicago, Illinois.
Going with Denver.
That's right.
That seems
what
to be the popular
that?
Choice today.
What's going on?
Won't change my mind.
You're going to change what you do? Different?
Of course. Now, Chris goes with Denver plus the points.
Yeah. Are you on this game for entertainment purposes only?
Oh, yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sports Talk Live. We'll be back. Rex Chambers coming up. Put a fish in the boat.
That's
get
it.
Get your fishing rod out and let's go.
That's right. Tap the ice out of that.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and Coleman Florist, located right downtown in the Warehouse District at 111 First Street, has you covered today, just like they have for the last 50 years. Coleman Florist has been serving Coleman County since 1966 and can provide arrangements from romantic roses to impressive modern bouquets for that person that you love. Pick up in store or have them deliver anywhere nationwide. Take an additional 10% off simply by mentioning Live 95. And while you're at it, send a request or a dedication out to your loved one right here at Live 95 on Valentine's Day. Stay tuned for more details or visit our website at live95coleman.com. For more information on Valentine's Day offerings, search for Coleman Florist on Facebook or visit ColemanFlorist.com. Valentine's Day. Don't get in trouble. Let Coleman Florist take care of you today.
Got car trouble? You need Joe Hudson at Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service is a full-service maintenance and repair center with high-quality, guaranteed service you can trust at a fair price. Foreign or domestic,
car, truck, SUV, or fleet, Hansville Auto Service has you covered. Got a Wallace State ID? Get 10% off parts and labor and special discounts on oil changes. Make sure you're ready for winter with the winter specials. Antifreeze testing, battery and alternator testing, battery check engine light testing, exterior light and fluids check. Wednesdays are your days for specials on oil changes. Mention the promo code RADIO and get a free 27-point inspection with any synthetic blend or synthetic oil change. Promo code RADIO. For more information and coupons, visit HASVC.com. HASVC.com. Hansville Auto Service. Family owned and operated. Magnolia Avenue, Hansville. 352-AUTO. 352-AUTO.
Hey, Coleman. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and Coleman and Florist, located right downtown in the Warehouse District at 111 First.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Brad Paisley.
So mean to me. Come on now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now we cooking. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I love the fish.
Yeah.
All right, Ronnie, take us to the lake, Rex.
What about that, Rex? A little Brad Paisley. This doesn't get any better, does it? Unless you're eating wings somewhere.
Really? Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
See, I agree. Man. Really? Do we really have to do this?
We got two communists with us.
And one of them is a fishing guru.
And an Auburn fan.
And he doesn't like Brad Paisley fishing song.
Hey, I'm a five-fingered death punch guy, so.
Oh, how are you, Rex?
I've been doing great.
Hey, man, how's retired life? Got to know.
A little boring in the winter, but I'm loving it.
Oh, I hear you, man. Congratulations, too. Well deserved.
Yep. I've been waiting for it for a long time, and I'm just glad it got here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, have you been on the water much?
Oh, well, funny story. I know you laughed at me last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did when you talked about standing out in the rain.
What's so bad you told me? I'll put you on at 5:30. I said, hey, this is a great time because you know what I'm standing beside? I am standing beside in the rain. In a bag line,
Depending
on bags to get our fish on Lake Kissimmee. and on my shoulder talking to me is the one and only Mr. Grigsby of One More Cast.
Oh, Shaw Grigsby. Okay? Man, I love to watch that show.
I love him to death. He's got the most infectious laugh I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I sat there, I said, Shaw, I'm fixing to get on do a little radio gig. Do you mind me? Ambushing you and putting you on the radio.
Oh.
He said, no, that's great. I said, we got about 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I called, 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 and I text you, and I called some more, and it is pouring down rain. And I forgot that I was on Eastern time.
Oh.
And I looked at Shaw. I said, Shaw, I'm so sorry. I stood here and got y'all excited about doing radio show. I said, but it's an hour away.
It's those little details that count.
Oh, man. Man, I'd love for y'all to have been able to join us, Rex. Hey, speaking of that, how did the tournament go? Tell us.
Oh, it went great for some people.
Some people, it always does, doesn't it?
Hey, I had a really good first day. I was sitting in 37th, 38th place overall.
Yeah.
It was really tough for the standards for Toho.
Right.
We had a lot of weather come in. for practice. But I found some fish, and day two, just one of those things. I did absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I did absolutely nothing right. I had a big old zero for day two.
Wow.
And cost me a check and a long drive back to Coleman.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Shaw Grigsby, who is in the world of professional fishing, he's pretty close to, as big as it gets, or certainly, the top, few there. Were there some other big names in the tournament that you were fishing as well?
Oh, there's a lot of the elite pros that do fish the Opens, because fishing the Bassmaster Opens is a guaranteed way of qualifying for the Bassmaster Classic.
Right.
And the winner of each tournament goes to the Classic if you fish all three tournaments. So that's their ticket punch. They fish with us little guys and try to get the win. But yeah, there was probably 25 of the elite pros fishing in that field. So
cool.
It is. You got the Gerald Swindles and like I said, the Grigsby's and both the Lee boys from here.
Now Swindle from Warrior, isn't he?
Swindle's from down at Hayden. Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. So man, that's great.
He's been doing. Matter of fact, I had a joke with him. I was going through some old articles before I left, and I run across his resume. He had sent me and a picture, and it's from 1998. And he looks like he's 12 years old, and then he had just started into professional fishing. I showed him the picture. He said, "If you ever put that on Facebook, I'll kill you." but it's going.
Oh man, soon. Hey Rick, talking about fishing those, the tournaments down there in Florida and the circuit that you're on, that you fish here in Alabama. If somebody wants to try to get involved in that, what's the process to be able to do what you're doing?
Well, if you fish the Bassmaster Southern Opens, is pretty much a first come first serve kind of deal. You need to be a member of BASA. It's nothing you qualify for, but you do have to kind of follow their rules and get in really early. You need to be a member, either a life member of BASS, or you need to be in a federated club, a BASS Federation Club, to get in early, because there's guys here on Smith Lake. The next stop is here on Smith Lake, and it's next month.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of locals that just paid their entry fee just to get in the Smith Lake tournament. Well, they're 140th, 180th on the waiting list.
Wow.
It's not going to get down to them.
Sure.
But if you enter early and you get in all three tournaments, then now you get to fish your home water. That's the only reason I did it again.
Right.
Every time they come to Smith Lake, I try to get in them. Although I have to admit, I have bombed both times they've come to Smith. So it's nothing new to me. If I don't get a check on Smith, I'm used to it.
It's not a heartbreaker, is it?
Hey, the thing about fishing home lake is everybody says, well, there's a home lake jinx. I said, well, it's not necessarily a jinx. It's you just outthink yourself on your home water a
right.
lot of times.
Right.
I got 400 places I need to go fish, and I can't hit them all in one day.
Sure. Absolutely. Hey, and Rick, sometimes, when you watch these guys on TV, they're all fishing out of the same type of boat, I guess the same size motor. Is that's not the case, with what you fish?
Well, as a rule, the rule of thumb
right.
is the bigger the better.
Right.
And the majority of the tournament guys are in 250 horsepower motors and 20-foot boats. Does everybody? No. Everybody does not.
Right.
But as a general rule, that's what everybody's went with. And it's everything's overpriced and overpowered.
Absolutely.
But you don't need it. You can get you a 17-foot with a 125 on it and go take as much money as anybody else.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of that, Rex, what's going on the area lakes? If somebody's going to try to go here in the next few days, what might they need to try?
Well, Smith Lake has a lot of mud rolling through all the creeks from the rain on Monday. I was there yesterday.
Yeah.
The main bodies of water aren't muddy, but the creeks are, but the fish are biting good. Take a crankbait and go down the bank. Just a little deep little in or a little lucky craft, shallow diver, and just go down some rocky banks. You can catch all the fish you want. A swim bait out on the points on Smith Lake's catching good fish. If you've got some clearer water, not necessarily fishing the mud.
Right.
As far as Gunnersville goes, it's rattle trap time. I just got off the phone with my partner for the year, and he said, I think they caught like 20-something on a rattle trap today on Gunnersville, ripping it through the grass. So, and the rattle trap tournament's this weekend on Gunnersville.
Okay.
So that's pretty good timing for those guys.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, what as far as any tournaments that were coming up, you know, either Gunnersville, Smith, and you mentioned Smith a minute ago. What about Wilson, Wheeler, any of those?
Well, I don't know of any tournaments coming up, but
yeah.
The fish are biting good on Wheeler. I don't know if it's because they're pulling a little water out or
right.
They're pushing a little water in, but every report I've gotten is about as good downriver on Wheeler around Elk River and Spring Creek.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, we were at Florence this weekend, just went for a little day, overnight trip to see our boys, and they were, a lot of water was coming through the dam there.
Yeah, they're still, all the rain we've had, they're still rolling a lot of water through. They got everything open, just pushing it south.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of the elk, Rex, have you ever gone up in there and fished in the elk?
I have fished the Elk River several times.
How far have you gone up in there?
I've gone as far as you can get a bass boat.
Okay.
That's a long way.
That is a long way. I went up there last week, I guess, and I can't remember where. I was on the highway that goes to West Limestone School, 190.
Oh, I couldn't tell you a number.
Is it 199 or something? Anyway, there's a boat launch there, and then I floated down a good ways. There was a lot of current. Is that norm for Elk River?
Well, it's just because they're moving so much water.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pulling it out, so all the water's coming out of the elk, and that's why the water's moving.
Okay, okay.
But
I mean, it looks great. It looks very fishy, but now I was just in a little old John boat like I was going to fish at Katoma, and I could throw a jig out, and I mean, the current just takes the jig, and it's gone, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It was a struggle for me, let me put it that way.
Well, I know the mouth of the elk's holding a lot of fish, spinner baits, and little shallow crank baits, and everybody's been catching several there. So
right, okay. Again, tournament coming up this weekend at Gunnersville, Rattle Trap Tournament.
I think it's the Rattle Trap is this weekend,
yep.
And then the regular weekend tournament from Smith Lake Dam will be Saturday also.
Okay, so out of the dam, and the tournament you spoke of earlier on Smith is when?
That's the Southern Open. That's
yes.
Next month. Yeah.
Oh, it's next month.
Yes, that's the end, the very last weekend of March, first weekend, first few days of April.
Okay, good deal. Well, all right, Rex. Well, thanks, man. Hey, I appreciate it. Hope you had a good supper. And next time, maybe you're in Florida, you will get the right time zone when you hook up.
All right,
Rex. Thanks, bud. All right, there's our old fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, our fishing expert, pro, whatever you want to call him.
From down in the Sunshine State last week.
That's right. He just had the wrong
I bet
wrong
he wish he was
zone.
Back in Sunshine State this week.
he may do it. So there it is, guys. If you want to try to go, if you're going to Smith, like Rex said, get you a little crankbait, start running the banks and catch the numbers. If you're going to Gunnersville, tie your rattle trap on and let her fly.
And, Ronnie, you know where it's time for me and you to go?
Would you tell me?
Home.
Is it time to go?
We have talked to the boss man while Ronnie and Rex was talking. I talked to the boss man, Jay,
yeah.
And he said it would be okay if we slipped out a little early.
Oh,
so
you're going to get on the Netflix?
No Netflix
so y'all,
tonight.
Y'all so. Stuck with me. So, yeah, you know there's a game coming up this weekend. It's called the Super Bowl.
Yes.
There's a couple of guys playing. I believe one very fine Cam Newton, otherwise known as Scam
yeah.
to a few.
Easy
now.
I said
yes,
a few.
That's right.
It used to be a moderate number. Now
yeah.
It's just a few ignoramus
that's
people.
Right. Should be a good ball game. I
yep.
hope it is a good ball game.
And as y'all have informed me, we'll talk about it next week.
All right. And I'm going to get my score prediction before we leave. Here it is. Write this one
all
down,
right.
Ronnie.
Do people need to pull over on the side
pull
of the
over
road?
On the side of the road.
That's right. All right. Jason.
Carolina, 27. Denver, 13.
Ooh, going to smoke them.
Mm.
27-13, Carolina over
I'm
Denver.
Sorry, Peyton.
That's just because Cam's an Auburn
And
guy.
When people get their feelings hurt, like Cam's commercial says, I'm sorry, there's no Band-Aids for hurt feelings. All right,
hey.
Until next week, let me leave you with a go Panthers.
And I'll leave you with a
Roll Tide.
Oh, Lord. Thanks for joining us.
It's a one-track mind, Ronnie.
That's right. That's right.
Be with us next week, and we'll be rehashing the Super Bowl, yeah. And Ronnie will be rehashing the Alabama National Championship game. So.
And those Netflixes will be rehashing hash.
Until then, folks, watch a little Netflix and chill tonight. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
To the tune of Bang the Drum All Day. Yeah.
ARN News Center, I mean, Gene Orvell. Another teen charged with murder in connection with the death of Mike Gelati, an Iraq war vet gunned down in the driveway of his home in Lake Cyrus in Hoover. Police say 17-year-old Ahmad Johnson's charged with murder and for numerous vehicle break-ins, along with 16-year-old Charleston Wells. Johnson arrested 2 days after Gelati's death, driving a stolen car. Items in it connected to Gelati's murder. A bond hearing set this morning for Wells moved to Monday so the victim's family can attend. In the search for a car believed to be carrying an abducted pregnant woman and her child, new developments. State troopers say a suspect is now under arrest in Woodstock. Investigators say the woman and child were kidnapped in Kemper County, Mississippi, and police were tracking a cell phone in order to find that vehicle. A monument to the Mobile Police Department mounted unit and one of the officers who patrols downtown, Equino, a bronze sculpture being created by artist Casey Downing. Main Street Mobile awarded a grant to help build this monument. I'm Gene Orfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. An employee of Alabama's Department of Youth Services Boys Home in Dothan accused of having sexual contact with a teenage resident at the facility, 43-year-old Sean Christopher Holton of Gordon, faces 10 counts of custodial sexual misconduct. That's a felony. He was released from jail after posting $150,000 bond. A 21-year-old Montgomery man charged with capital murder, Antoine Johnson, accused of shooting and killing 20-year-old Gregory Smith while he sat in his car on East South Boulevard, Johnson being held in the Montgomery County Detention Facility with bond. At the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. today, Alabama's Heisman Trophy winner Derrick Henry delivering the closing prayer. It included a message to young Americans.
And Lord, I want to pray for my generation that every day we wake up, we seek you, Lord, for guidance and wisdom.
Representative Robert Adderholt of Haleyville co-hosted the event, introducing Henry to the nearly 3,000 people in attendance. I'm Gene Orfell. This is ARN.
So you take the mouse and click over there, and then you can choose someone you want to call.
My niece. I click here?
Uh-huh.
This is Louisa. Recently, she got help going online to chat with her family back home.
Okay, so then you want to hit that green button.
This is her first time on the internet and her first time seeing her niece in 5 years. Louisa doesn't know what to expect.
Louisa? Oh my gosh, there she is. This is amazing. It's so good to see you. You look so pretty.
But this is definitely way beyond.
Oh my gosh.
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. That's 1-855-387-9166.
Oh, I've missed you.
Oh, me too.
Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
In money news, Governor Bentley wants to transfer $181 million from the Education Trust Fund to cover a hole in the general fund budget created mostly by Medicaid. The money taken from the trust fund would be covered by the Rolling Reserve Act. Senate Budget Chairman Trip Pittman says Bentley compared his last budget to the moon landing.
But the reality is, my message comes from another Apollo mission. Alabama, we have a problem. And the reality is that we're in a very critical shape in terms of funding on the general fund side.
Bentley claims it's a choice between raising taxes, cutting jobs, or transferring money. With hundreds of miners out of work after layoffs at Walter Energy Mines, a job fair will take place in Brookwood next week to help those laid off find new work. 50 employers with jobs to be filled will be on hand Tuesday for the event at the G.G. Hardin Center in Brookwood. Uber is coming to Montgomery, City Council approving a business license for the ride-sharing company. Mayor Todd Strange says a rep told him Uber should be ready to begin its Montgomery operation by the weekend. I'm Gene Orfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.